This morning, we're between series once again. We had a little mini series in Philippians, and we're moving into returning to Romans, Romans chapter 12 next week. And so today we were kind of in between, and I had a choice of what. There was a lot that I could say, and tonight, for those that don't know, we have an important church meeting, and we're seeking to work out how we move forward with the future of the church. And a lot of people have asked me over the week, how do we know that God has guided us? And so I thought, okay, this would be an absolutely excellent opportunity to preach about guidance. And I remember the last time I preached about guidance was back in May 2007, the 13th, the 20th, and 27th of May in 2007. And what I did in that time is I decided I would preach a one-off about guidance. And that one-off turned into three sermons about guidance. You see, I'm a typical preacher. I can't keep just to one little bit. So I preached about those. Now, if you want those, if you want to know more about guidance, then please feel free to ask for those. We've got them. Paul has kindly looked out them on MP3 format. So we've got those available. If you want those, and we can burn a CD. But I'm going to take a slightly different look at guidance this morning. I'm going to look at it from a slightly different angle. I'm not going to tell you how to find guidance in quite the structured way that I did back then. I gave 10 points of how to have guidance. But this morning we're going to do it a little bit differently. So if you have Bibles with you, that would be very helpful. And it would be good if you turned with me to Matthew 6, verses 19 to 34. They will come up on the screen, but it's always good to have scripture before you. Because when God speaks, you can look at it and say, ah, yes, that's where it was. So we're going to look at Matthew chapter 6, verse 19 to 34, just to give you a bit of context whilst you're finding that. This is the Sermon on the Mount. Jesus is speaking to his disciples and to the crowds that are gathered. Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moth and rust do not destroy, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. The eye is the lamp of the body. If your eyes are good, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eyes are bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light within you is darkness, how great is that darkness? No one can serve two masters. Either he will hate one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. Therefore, remember that word, therefore. It's taking that first bit of teaching. I'm going to carry on with the scripture reading in a minute, but it's taking that first bit of scripture reading and then applying it. So this is perhaps the application. Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more important than food, and the body more important than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Who of you, by worrying, can add a single hour to his life? Why do you worry about clothes? See how the lilies of the field grow. They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you? So I keep on reading this, and I'm reading it in the version that I'm used to, but I'm, O you of little faith. So, do not worry, saying, what should we eat, or what should we drink, and what should we wear? For the pagans run after these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. This is the word of God. So, rather than summarize guidance, I want to head up this sermon, Seeking God's Guidance. And we're going to reflect on this passage under that title. And to keep things simple, as we have done over the last few weeks, we're going to just look at it under two headings. Your treasure and your heart, and your worries and your priorities. So, Seeking God's Guidance is the overall title, and the two headings for those taking notes are your treasure and your heart, and your worries and your priorities. Let's just look again at verse 19 to 21. Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moth and rust do not destroy, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. So, hopefully, you've got the picture of where I've got that heading from. It's based on verse 21, your treasure and your heart. And you may be, well, asking, what's this got to do with seeking God's guidance? Well, when given advice about guidance, there are those that would suggest, go with your heart. And I want to suggest that that might be a very good suggestion. Go with your heart. But there's a little caveat. There's no point in going with your heart if your heart's in the wrong place. You'll go the wrong way. If your heart's in the right place, then the advice to go with your heart might be quite good. So, how do we know if our heart is in the right place or not? Well, if we look at this scripture, we could suggest that if we look and see what we treasure most, then we will know where our heart is. Where your treasure is, there will your heart be. So if you treasure things most, then that's where your heart will be. When explaining the greatest commandment, Jesus said, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. Here, the heart represents the center of our being. If God is at the center of our being, if we treasure him above all else, if our time, our money, not sure that guidance will be much of an issue. If you are sold out for God and everything that you treasure is found in him, then I suspect that guidance will be a little bit easier. The challenge is, as the song we heard at the beginning of the service played on the CD, is that we tend to have a divided heart. And when we have a divided heart, we have a struggle which way to go. Because if you've got a divided heart and you follow your heart, you'll be sort of like saying, well, which way shall I go? I remember one day when we were in our house in Guildford, the doorbell went. And Rebecca, little girl at that time, just did not know whether to answer the doorbell or go upstairs. And she was just in the trying to work out which to do. And the stairs were here, and the front door was here. And she ran, and she couldn't work out which way to go. So she ran smack into the banister, which was halfway between the stairs and the front door. That undivided heart would have been good for her at that point, because she'd have known whether to go to the door or up the stairs. But because of the divided heart, she had a sore head. And let me suggest that if you have a divided heart, when you're seeking guidance, you'll have a bit of a sore head. because you won't know which way to go. So if that's the problem, the divided heart, is asking God for guidance the answer? Well, I suggest that getting our hearts sorted out would be the best place to start. If we're struggling with guidance, if we don't know, get your heart sorted out first, and then guidance will be easier. I believe prayer is important. I've always said that. This has been one of my things that I've gone on about at this church. And the other thing I say about prayer, when I talk about prayer, I say prayer isn't asking God, changing God's mind, but asking him for which way to go or whatever. Prayer is more about changing us than changing our circumstances or changing God's mind. Prayer is about getting ourselves aligned with God. It's not about getting God aligned with us or getting our circumstances aligned with God or getting our circumstances aligned with us. It's about getting ourselves in the right place with God. And that is why I think prayer is so fundamental to the whole issue of guidance. It's because it's the sorting out of our hearts. And that's why I believe having a prayer and fasting was a vital part of the whole prayer time that we've had. It's about getting our hearts right with God. And I've been thrilled that so much of Prayer 31 has been focused on developing a Christ-like character, seeking forgiveness, engaging in mission, rather than getting answers about do we build or don't we build. In actual fact, I think the question do we build or don't we build is rather immaterial. Cover that a little bit more tonight, because it's not totally immaterial, but what's more important is getting our hearts right, getting ourselves right with God. If we do that, then decisions on other things will become that much easier. So, first point is your treasures and your heart. You can find out where somebody's heart is by looking at where they treasure, what they treasure most, what do they spend their time on, what do they do most, where are they? If they're always doing one thing, if they have this beautiful car that sits in the garage and is lovingly cared for every weekend and looked after and tweaked and things, you know that's where somebody's treasure is, that's where their heart is, and you'll see that. And we can see where our hearts are by where our treasures are. And if we want to God's guidance, I think we need to get, first of all, our hearts right. And maybe that suggests we need to sort out where our treasures are as well. But that's an aside. So let's move on to our second point in seeking God's guidance, is your worries and your priorities. Reading again verse 31 to 34. So do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. So, is it clear where my second point comes from? Your worries and your priorities. But again, you might well say, what's this got to do with seeking God's guidance? Well, I love words. I love playing with words and using words and alliterations and all of that. That's one of the joys that I gain from preaching. I just love words. And I've been rather deliberate about entitling this sermon, Seeking God's Guidance. I wanted to do so, and I used the word seeking God's guidance to press home the point that these verses seem to be making. Is it guidance that we should really be seeking? Or do these verses suggest something else? Seems to me that we get worried about everyday things of life that we become preoccupied with them, and we do all we can to take the risk and discomfort out of our lives. We get enough food, enough money, enough clothes, or more than enough, so that we can live comfortably. Our priority in life seems to become us and our needs. What shall we eat? What shall we drink? What shall we wear? Where shall we live? And who shall we marry? All of those questions are about us and what we do. And whilst it's right and proper for Christians to give due consideration to our material needs, they should not become our priority. That must be something else, something higher. Jesus said, do not worry. That's what people who aren't Christians do. Instead, make these your first priority: God's kingdom and God's righteousness. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. We shouldn't be seeking God's guidance as much as seeking God's kingdom and his righteousness. What does that mean, to seek God's kingdom and his righteousness? Those two phrases could get a sermon on their own, or a sermon series on their own. But we haven't got enough time for that. So I'm going to use the words of the great biblical teacher, John Stott, to explain what seeking God's kingdom might mean. To seek first this kingdom is to desire, as of first importance, the spread of the reign of Jesus Christ. Such a desire will start with ourselves, until every single department of our life, home, marriage, family, personal morality, professional life, business ethics, bank balance, tax returns, lifestyle, citizenship, is joyfully and freely submissive to Christ. It will continue in our immediate environment with the acceptance of evangelistic responsibility towards our relatives, colleagues, neighbours and friends, and it will also reach out in global concern for missionary witness of the church. Seeking first God's kingdom means letting God rule and reign in your life, so that every aspect of our lives, our money is not ours, it's his. Our family are not ours, they're his. And everything we do in all our spheres of life, whether it be at work or at home, out and about, everything we do for him, for his glory. So we don't do it for ourselves, so we don't get the promotion, so that I look better. I manage to manufacture my ego and do something to build myself up. I don't wear clothes that just say, they make me look good. I don't seek things that just are about meeting my needs, but I'm about living for the glory of God. That is the chief end of man, is that we live for God's glory, so that he is number one. That is what the kingdom is about. And then it goes on from just every aspect of our life into evangelism, where we tell others about Jesus, and that's the kingdom. And then we tell not just our friends and our families and our colleagues locally, the local community has a global aspect as well, where we want to see the kingdom of God extend throughout the world. So the kingdom must come in our lives, in the lives of those around us, and in the world as a whole. That is about seeking first the kingdom of God. Whilst the kingdom of God is focused on the realm where God is king, God's righteousness, does it add anything to what is being said? Jesus says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. What does "and his righteousness" mean? You could say, if you think the kingdom of God is where God is king where he reigns, what does God's righteousness mean? I think the kingdom of God is focused on the realm where God is king. The righteousness of God has more of a universal focus, both where he is king, where his kingship is accepted, and also where he's not. And whilst we should extend God's kingdom by bringing people to Christ, perhaps we should also be seeking to extend God's righteousness by bringing Christ to people, engaging with our communities to help bring God's standards, his righteousness, to them. Not just bringing people to know Christ as their Lord and Savior, that's the kingdom work, but it's also bringing God's standards into a world that is often devoid of any knowledge of Christ. And we do that by bringing to bear his righteousness. Guidance, as we've seen, is about getting our hearts right, but also about sorting out our priorities. If our priorities, however modest they are, enough to eat, enough to drink, enough to wear, if they are self-centered rather than God-centered, then guidance will always be an issue. For our will take precedence if we're only about self-centeredness. We will always be making decisions based on what we want rather than what God wants. And if we truly want guidance, then we need to get not only our hearts sorted out, but our priorities right. And our priority is to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. With the end of bringing glory to God. When Rachel read, musicians, if you'd like to return, when Rachel read those words from Romans 15, it says, "May the God who gives endurance and encouragement give you the same attitude of mind towards each other as Christ Jesus had, so that with one mind and with one voice you may glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ." That is our aim in life, to glorify God. When we want to know what guidance to get, our aim, our priority should be about glorifying God. Our heart should be in the right place. And if we are focused on glorifying God, then I submit to you that guidance would be a lot simpler. And we wouldn't be saying, which way should we go? Because it's obvious, God's way. Let's continue to worship, or let's conclude our service in worship as we sing about God's faithfulness yesterday, today, and forever. There is no end to your kingdom. And let's give our worship by giving our finances where your heart is, your treasure is, where your treasure is, your heart is. Perhaps this is an opportunity to give your treasure to God and also your heart as we worship him now.